This is an All Ears English podcast, episode 1401, How Trump Fuels the Culture Wars with Fear. Welcome to the All Ears English podcast, downloaded more than 150 million times. Are you feeling stuck with your English? We'll show you how to become fearless and fluent by focusing on connection, not perfection, with your American hosts, former IELTS examiner Jessica Beck and Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, coming to you from Denver and Portland, USA. Today is the third episode in this four-part series on civil rights in the U.S. Today we examine civil rights from the angle of the current president and his platform. Listen in to learn what's going on. This podcast is sponsored by Indeed. As a business owner myself, I've learned that the most important key to success is having a great team. But it can be time-consuming, reading through tons of resumes. Need to hire a great candidate at your company? Why not eliminate the busy work? Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so that you can connect with candidates faster. Just in the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. So join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/AEE. Just go to Indeed.com/AEE right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/AEE. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hey, Jessica, how are you doing today?
Woo! You know, that's kind of a loaded question, like every day, it seems like. We say that a lot right now. What does that mean, loaded question?
Loaded question. It means that there's a lot there in the asking and in the answering.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Especially if it seems like it's usually a simple question, but right now it's not, right?
Right.
Just like, how are you? And the other person's like, oh my gosh.
It means that the answer would take a long time.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. So we're back, though, Jessica, and this is in our bonus series on civil rights in the U.S. Now, guys,
yes.
If you've been paying attention to All Ears English, you know that we have covered this topic in the last couple of weeks, and now we're here for episode 3. Jessica, what have we covered so far in this series?
So in the first episode, guys, we tried to give you the best timeline we could of sort of the history of racial inequality in America, right? Because this is the context we need to understand what huge reactions are happening today regarding police and race and all of this stuff. So we gave you a great sort of history in the first episode, and then in the next episode, we started talking about stuff related to the police and zoning in more on those events.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, why are the cops able to get away with what they get away with? Like, what are the systems that enable them and allow this to continue without them being punished? So, guys, we made some really good podcast recommendations there. So check out that episode as well. Right, Jessica?
Yes, I actually have been listening to some amazing podcasts on the history of policing in America and where it comes from and how not many civilizations had police as we think of it today and where our police started. So maybe that's a topic for another episode.
We'll have to come back to that topic.
Yes, it is fascinating. Okay.
Yeah, we'll circle back around. So guys, this episode, you know, 1401, we are now going to look at this from a third angle, an important angle, and that is Trump's political platform, right? Trump being in the White House and kind of what he stands for and how that is coinciding with this movement, the Black Lives Matter movement. What's going
going on there. So let's get into it, Jessica.
Oh, let's get into it. He, you know, he has always run on a platform of hate. And if you contrast him to other people that we call leaders who try to bring people together, he does not do any of that. And you could see that in the way he has reacted to not only the police issue and the Black Lives Matter movement, but also the health crisis. He did not lead in any significant sense of the word. And many people say that he caused more division.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk about the health crisis in the next episode a little bit in a couple of weeks, guys. But for sure, I mean, you know, when I think about, you know, who, what he has done, essentially, he just has a very loyal base of followers. And I'm curious if it's going to work a second time, right? Because he's kind of created this sense of us versus them, his whole idea around this border wall idea to erect a border on the border with Mexico. It's all about making people feel like they have been disenfranchised. And it's not true. It's telling a bunch of lies. But but the problem is, right, within his base, he's got an extremely loyal following. I think it's, what is it, like 30% of voters? I really have a hard time believing it's that high. But obviously, for him to be elected, you know, I think at this point, it's around 30% or 40%.
Well, he, I mean, the, you know, the classic question of why did he get elected in the first place and why do people still follow him? It's exactly that, guys. He taps into fear, right? By creating hate, by empowering people to look at themselves as a victim of whatever, of the system, of, you know, like telling people, you know, I know life is difficult. It's not your fault. It's the fault of the media. It's the fault of these other people. It's the fault of the elitist liberal media, right? So he's empowering people to feed into that hate and that separateness. And even though he says, you know, he's not racist, his campaign people are like, he's not racist. Well, you could say that a number of tweets have been racist, but his the way that he speaks empowers people who are racist.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And his approval rating is really low. I mean, I think I read somewhere that he's the first president in history who has never had the support of the majority, not even on day one. Like his approval rating was always below 50%, which is the first time ever. So don't get us wrong, guys. He's not, you know, in general, he's not a popular president, but he has a base that's extremely loyal and that buys into his view on life.
Yeah, but increasingly, there are a number of Republicans in his own party that are finally starting to pull away.
Oh, God.
He has actually lost the military endorsement as well after what happened when there were protesters in front of the White House recently. And he called in the military to tear gas them so he could take a picture with a Bible in front of a church. And the military leaders later said, "We regret that. It shouldn't have happened." So more quickly these days, he is turning people away from him, for
sure. He really is. I mean, I actually wonder if that event, Lafayette Square, where he did that, is going to become like a very famous name in history, an event, a famous event in history. I wonder.
I
we never
so.
Really know, right, until later what shakes out as one of the big events in history. But the symbolism, what he did, right, using the military against protesters, our First Amendment, you know, free speech, it's so important to us as Americans. And that's really what he was working against and mobilizing the military to work against freedom of speech, which is a huge deal.
It's enormous. Okay, but anybody that talks about the First Amendment being so important, some of those people are like on his side. And here's the thing, guys, like if those were protesters that were like for him, if that was like a rally of people that liked him, it would have been fine. You know, he would have been putting his arms around them and saying, "This is the most tremendous number of people that have loved me ever," right? The sort of exaggerating everything. So let's get into a little bit of specifics about his reaction to George Floyd's death, which was the event that set off all of these massive protests and hopefully setting off change as well. So what were some of the initial responses to the protests?
So one of the big issues, you know, is this idea of police being able to put chokeholds on people, right, when they are arresting them or detaining them or some kind of a thing like that. So some of the comments that he made were that it sounded like the response to this event was innocent or perfect. You know, when you start saying things like that, it's kind of like he kind of speaks in dog whistles in a sense. Like he sends out messages. I've heard that actually being said before. Like he sends out messages to his base. It's supposed to kind of evoke that reaction. And it's incredible.
Definitely.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So, yeah, I mean, a lot of what he says doesn't make any sense sometimes, but the stuff that does make sense is horrible, largely. Mm-hmm. So he started off by saying that police chokeholds he thought were innocent and perfect, whatever that means, but
yeah,
he
whatever
thinks
that
they're
means.
Positive. But then he did follow that by saying, you know, generally speaking, maybe we shouldn't do that. So again, like he really practices double speak in a way that is extraordinary.
Yeah. And just to dive in here, another example of that would be 2 summers ago in Charlottesville. Remember when he said there are great people on both sides of the debate or something like that? When it was, you know, I think it was members of the KKK that were in there protesting, right? So and that's another example of how he says things that are clearly giving permission to hateful groups to act. Okay. Yeah.
Exactly. And he tries to play both sides. So what he says first will be his real feeling, whatever he thinks that day, that he loves chokeholds and they're great, or that, you know, the KKK should be outside in plain view. And then he'll follow that with some general statement. However,
which his aides wrote, probably
happen. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Since then, he has shown extreme insensitivity to George Floyd's death and to the subsequent protests and the whole Black Lives Matter moment. So movement. So, for example. When he was making a speech on Friday and talking about how our economy is so great, which, by the way, not true right now, but he says we're doing great. Numbers are tremendous, blah, blah, blah. And he said in that speech, he said that George Floyd is looking down, smiling about what we're doing right now. Like, what?
Yeah. No, just unbelievable the things that he says sometimes. It's like, it feels like every day, I think our country is just fatigued. We are exhausted of this.
So exhausted.
Because every day there's something new on the news that honestly, like, hurts my heart.
Yes.
I get stressed out when I read it because this is not what our country is. We are better than this.
So much better.
We need a leader that can lead us in a better way. So we deserve better. Yeah.
I miss Obama so much.
Oh, I loved him.
So let's talk about just the most recent, as of recording, the most recent sort of horrible insensitivity that he has shown, an unspoken approval of, you know, the most horrible people, like white supremacists and the nationalist movement and stuff. So recently, guys, it was June 19th, which is known as Juneteenth. It is a day that is celebrated by African Americans because that is the day that slavery was officially ended. June 19th. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
So this happened to be on at the same time that Trump wanted to hold a rally, which, you know, maybe we could talk about that in the next episode as it connects to the health crisis. But he wanted to have a rally, guys. He had a tough time finding a place for it, but he originally planned it for June 19th, which really angered the Black Lives Matter movement. Of course it did.
Yep. Yep.
And then the next day he changed it, right? He changed the date to June 20th. So, okay. But then the location he chose, everyone, was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is the home to the worst massacre of African Americans at one time in our history.
Yep.
Have you heard of this, Lindsay?
I haven't actually. Black Wall Street. No, I didn't know about that area of Tulsa, but I do think this was purposeful. You know, the choice of trying to schedule this. I don't think it just happened to be that he wanted a rally that day. I think he chose that day as a rally day to make a statement. you know?
And the location.
And the location. Absolutely.
For sure. Mm-hmm. So guys, I'll just explain real fast what Black Wall Street was, because this is a very important part of our history. And to be honest, I had never heard of it. Yeah. My sister had never heard of it. This isn't taught in our history textbooks.
No.
So in 1921, guys, there was still a lot of segregation laws on the books, especially in Oklahoma, and Black people were not allowed to participate in the economy to the same extent that white people were, right? You can't have these bank accounts. You can't own businesses. So they owned a large portion of Tulsa and developed their own successful, thriving economic community. Mm. It was amazing. They were, at the time, the most successful African-Americans that existed at the time in America.
Wow.
So long story short, it was called Black Wall Street. White people didn't like it, and they attacked, and they killed at least 300 Black people. The numbers are difficult to pin down, but it even included airplanes flying over and dropping bombs.
Wow.
Like, on this area. It was demolished.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, that mere blocks from where this happened was where Trump held his rally.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And again, I don't remember learning about this particular event in school. I do think we have a lot of gaps in our textbook education. You know what I mean? In school, a lot of important things we don't learn. So we have the responsibility to educate ourselves on this as adults, for sure. Yeah. Okay.
Definitely.
So he's decided to hold this on Juneteenth or around Juneteenth in this area near Greenwood Avenue, Black Wall Street. Not a coincidence, right? Yes.
No, of course not. But I mean, the silver lining here is that there was a much lower attendance to his rally, guys. It was much lower than he anticipated. Oh, so hopefully that means more people don't like him.
I know. I mean, if you look at the visuals, they're pretty bad.
Oh, so bad.
You look at the visuals, like the entire upper row, like huge swaths of the seating is just empty. And this may be because of the pandemic. I mean, probably that's part of it. But I'm hoping that we're starting to see the results of a bad president. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm a president that just doesn't lead us well.
Exactly.
And a lot of people are starting to, you know, write up and speak up about it. You know, we had, who was the general that spoke up a few weeks ago? It was General,
Petraeus? Was it
not Petraeus? I can't remember. And I know a new book is coming out by John Bolton. And he's saying that, you know, another term for Trump would be devastating for our country.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So there are a lot more books that are supposed to be published by quote unquote insiders that the Trump administration is trying to suppress, as they did with John Bolton's book. But I mean, ultimately, guys, what it comes down to is there are more and more people speaking out against him and more people listening.
Yeah.
And that's the best we can hope for at this point before the next election.
You know, I think ultimately this is a real test of America. You know, you know, when he first got elected, my smart friends were saying, don't worry about it. Like, our system is set up for this, right? We're set
to
have a check on leaders so that we could never have an authoritarian president. But as the last 4 years have gone by, I feel like he's kind of seeped into our culture in a way. And that's why I feel like this moment is a test. You know, does he get reelected?
Definitely.
Do we really take this on as a country, or are we strong enough to rise up against this? So to me, it's a big question mark still. What's going to happen?
Oh, for sure. Well, especially after, you know, what we experienced in 2016 with him getting elected, it sort of ruined all of our hope and expectations and trust in America after that, right? So we're trying to get that back now. But Lindsay said, his approval ratings are very low. So there's that. And there's more people speaking up against him. Joe Biden, he was the vice president of Obama. So at least he's connected to our favorite person, you know? I mean, there's hope. Oh, there's hope for the future.
There's hope. So let's just see. I mean, it's going to be a very tense and exciting but very stressful election season over the next 5 months or so. But stay tuned, guys. We will definitely be talking about this a lot. And in our next episode in this bonus series, we'll come back and look at the civil rights movement in the U.S. from the angle of the pandemic. And how has that created all of this to come up now? And how do those two connect, guys? All right?
Yeah, cool. It's so fascinating, guys. Definitely, if you didn't hear the first two episodes in the series, go back and listen, because they do build on each other, right? It is getting all of this context, so you can't actually understand all the divisiveness and all the change that's happening in America right now.
Exactly. All right. This has been good, Jessica. I will see you on the next episode in the series.
Sounds good. All right.
All right.
All right. Bye, Lindsay.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to All Ears English. If you are taking IELTS this year, get your estimated band score with our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/myscore. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.